The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network on the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football, featuring Zach Zaidman, Bears veteran Patrick Manley, and more of your favorite Bears players. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by University of Phoenix, Tempur-Pedic, and Comcast.
Oh, we've got a good one tonight. A live edition of Bears All Access brought to you by Sports Authority from the Chicago Bears Network Studios and Events Center at Hallis Hall in front of a studio audience from MasterCard. Welcome aboard. Happy to have you here. I'm Zach Zaidman, joined by what Phil Emery likes to call one of the eighth wonders of the world, the veteran long snapper, Patrick Manley. You've been back on the practice field. You're going to play.
That's what they tell me. Yeah, no, I'm back. Yeah, so I feel good. Everything's healed up and excited to get back and play. And it's not fun being out. You miss your teammates. You miss being out there, especially when they win and being able to celebrate with them.
Now, is snapping like riding a bike? Do you still have it?
I think so. Practice went all right this week. Yeah, I think
all
I
right.
still got it. Yeah.
Good. And what do you do? I've been wondering about this. What do you do to get medical clearance as a long snapper?
I do calf raises for the doctor. And if you can do, I don't know, 10 of them, I think you can play. No, honestly, I practice during the week and I'm fine. And then the doctor comes in today to just kind of basically sign off on you. And he actually had me do calf raises. How does it feel and all that stuff? And we talk about it. But the test was calf raises.
Yeah, it's a good look for you, though, by the way. The calves are strong as ever. And it's time now to introduce our guest for the full hour, someone that you know very well. Statistically, it says here that he is the second most accurate field goal kicker in the history of the National Football League. You just know him as Mr. Consistency, according to Mark Trestman, talking about Robbie Gould. Hey, Robbie.
Hey, thanks for having me on the show. It's been a while.
Welcome back.
It's good to be back.
I can't believe you're going to have to interview him now, Patrick. That's
well, I think
weird.
We should change the name today from Bears All Access just to the Robbie Gould Show. He's going to take over tonight. See? Listen.
He is.
He's got a lot of stories, a lot of good things he's doing right now, and I'm excited to hear him.
He might be the most popular Chicago Bear this week, for sure.
Oh, yeah. What he's doing is amazing.
Yeah, he's done a lot of good things. But before we talk about the football stuff, very emotional week, I think, for a lot of people in Illinois. But here at Hallis Hall as well, I know, Robbie, that you had a chance on Tuesday to go down to Coal City, an area affected by the tornadoes. What was that like?
You know, it's actually pretty incredible. During the game, you know, you hear of talks of tornadoes or high winds or, you know, possible not devastating weather, because you really don't understand what's going on outside the four walls of the locker room. But for the offense and defense, I mean, they're going through walkthrough. I have my feet propped up watching the football games. I mean, like typical kickers do to get ready during a two-hour delay. But when you get outside of the game and you start looking at social media and looking online to read newspapers as to what happened, just see the devastation that went on. You know, my charity, we started it 2 years ago. It's called the Golden Touch. We help those in need. So I got up at like 6 in the morning and started calling guys and called a couple companies, Peapod and Joe Caputo and Sons, and Fantastic Lettering. They all donated anything from water to snacks to food and clothing. And realistically, we put this thing together with the Chicago Bears in probably 6 hours and took a bus down with Sherrick McManus, Blake Costanzo, Zach Bowman, Tom Zbikowski, Anthony Adams, and Rashid Davis. And then a couple of the people from the Bears came from the Bears Care Department. And just to see what those families are going through, I mean, everybody in that community has a different story. And if you go through, we went, unloaded a bunch of stuff, and then we went into one of the areas, it's called Diamond Estates, it's a subdivision, and it's literally like a Hollywood video. You come in the one section and shingles are off the top of a roof, windows are kind of out, one house might be okay, and then you get to the middle of the subdivision and it's complete chaos. I mean, it's literally, at the end of the day, we're all trying to gather around this one house, and I'm sitting around looking at how 100 people, 200 people, 300 people, they don't even know each other. It's the ultimate locker room. It's seriously unbelievable. And I'm standing in what I thought at the time was a garage or a driveway, and I'm like, man, this is unbelievable to see how many people in a community pull together and just try to piece it all back together. And then I look around and I'm standing in somebody's garage that has two walls missing.
Wow.
I mean, it's just unbelievable. You can't tell the story in pictures and or videos based on what's going on down there until you hear the stories of the families. You know, they put all their money into their houses and their homes, and, you know, cars got destroyed. It's just unbelievable what they're going through.
Bears Care is conducting an online auction of game-worn and game-used equipment from the Bears' overtime win against the Ravens. So it's the old-school Monsters of the Midway jerseys and pants. They're accepting donations online at chicagobears.com/tornado relief. The Bears and Bears Care together will match all donations and auction proceeds up to $100,000, which will be sent to the American Red Cross to address the most current critical needs of the families who have been impacted by the tornadoes and storms. And the auction items include a luxury suite for 16 people at the Bears-Rams game in St. Louis. The Rams graciously donated one of their suites for Sunday's game. Game-worn jerseys from everyone from David Bass to Alshon Jeffrey to Julius Peppers. Game-worn pants from David Bass, who had that big pick six, Matt Forte, Kai Long, Brandon Marshall, Jordan Mills, Josh McCown, and Julius Peppers. And this is pretty cool. A game-used football autographed by head coach Mark Trestman, along with a game-used coin, you know, where they do the coin flip. And they used it twice in that game, before right. regulation and in overtime. It's a pretty cool thing. So most of the items are expected to be added to the auction. There are going to be other stuff as well. And the auction ends on Sunday, November 24th at 11:59 p.m. But bids are currently being accepted. Again, chicagobears.com/tornado relief.
I was just going to say, what, you know, Robbie earlier mentioned that, you know, what he put together. He had mentioned to me on Monday he was going to go down there. And I didn't realize that what he was going to do, how he was going to put it together, and how big it was. And it just speaks volume for him of how much he cares about, you know, the state of Illinois, our whole community, everything. And what he put together just blew me away of what he did. And I couldn't believe it. So thank you, Robbie, for doing that.
I appreciate that, Pat. It means a lot to me. I mean, thank you. Well, it's pretty neat because as an athlete, you know, you see us on Sundays, you know, you see us in our uniforms, you see us, really not behind closed doors. You know, you don't see the guys like a Charles Tillman. You don't see a guy like Lance Briggs, who does a lot of charity work. You don't see some of these guys like Jay Cutler, who have their foundations. You don't hear much about it. You only hear about an interception or a missed field goal or a missed tackle that these guys hear. And honestly, in this locker room, it's pretty amazing how many guys have committed themselves to, you know, community service, not even just to this specific cause, but to different causes throughout the community.
And I like the fact that almost immediately, once the game ended, when you guys were in the locker room right after the victory celebrations, there were different pockets of players kind of talking about what they wanted to do on their off day on Tuesday, and you had essentially one day to prepare to get stuff done. All right, let's take a timeout. When we come back, let's talk about that phenomenal game that you guys played and the weird conditions and the break. There's so much that happened in this game that will probably never happen again as long as you play in the NFL. That's next. Robbie Gold's here. So's Patrick Manley. I'm Zach Sabin. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority, live from the Chicago Bears Network Studios and Events Center at Hallis Hall, in front of our studio audience from MasterCard on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bears Huddle and Bears Blitz are your chance to catch up on Bears news every Wednesday and Thursday at 4:30 p.m. live from these studios on Comcast SportsNet Chicago, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows. This is one of them. Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority, live from the Chicago Bears Network Studios and Events Center at Hallis Hall, in front of our studio audience from MasterCard, alongside the veteran long snapper Patrick Manley. I'm Zach Sabin. Pat is back this week, so it's like a double bonus for Bears fans. They get to hear him on Thursday.
Can we make T-shirts that say that? Pat is back with the mullet. Can we get that?
I don't think they'll sell very well.
No, I'll buy one. I'll buy them all.
Do you think years from now, Manley's mullet is going to be the equivalent of what Ditka's mustache is?
It may. I mean, 16
No, because there's no way I'll have it when I get older, because I probably won't have that much hair. A mustache you can keep forever.
That's kind of true, I guess. But, I mean, honestly, next to maybe Tom Thayer, I mean, you might be the only guy with a mullet that ever played for the Bears.
Tom Waddle had one.
Tom did?
Yeah, I think a lot of guys in the 80s had one. It was a very popular look.
And remember, I mean, Pat did join the Bears in the
80s. 80s. Yeah.
So
it was drafted, a good run.
You were drafted in the 80s, right?
It's been a good run. It's been a good run. Just missed the Super Bowl.
By the way, that other voice that you hear is that of the second most accurate kicker in the history of the National Football League, Robbie Gould. And the reason I bring that up is because how on earth did you get that ball through to win the game in overtime? Because at least from my vantage point, you know, Joniak went to me right before your kick, and he goes, what's the wind situation? And I'm looking at the flags. One's going this way. The other one's going that way. And I said, it's a swirling wind, but it keeps changing. Who knows what it's going to be by the time he kicks the ball?
Well, you know, it's interesting because the two of us usually get together before the game to talk about the wind direction. You always look confused to begin with. So I can only imagine what your call was like while getting ready to do the game winner.
And it has nothing to do with the wind, the reason for my confusion. But I did go to you before the game, and you said in the south end zone.
It moved a lot.
It was a crosswind from the Ravens sideline near the lake toward the west side, which is where the Bears sideline is. And then on the north end zone, which is where the game-winning kick took place, you said the easiest way to describe it is a swirling wind, but it was complicated.
Yeah, it kind of changed throughout the game. I mean, it changed from the time kickoff started till the time we came out for the two-hour delay. It was really bad in the beginning. We came out for the two-hour delay. It was barely moving, and it started to pick up again late in the third quarter. And, you know, you're not really technically supposed to kick between the end of regulation and overtime, but I always do it because...
Don't tell on yourself.
I'm just saying. I mean, I'm going to go until they kick me off. So, I mean, you're not going to get a penalty for it. And if you get a penalty for it, I think we should find the commissioner,
smart
in my
veteran.
Opinion.
Yeah,
veteran move there by Robbie Gould. No.
But, you know, what was interesting is when you were warming up in that end zone, it was moving a complete goalpost. So when I went out to get ready to kick the game-winning field goal, first of all, the guys on offense and defense did a great job of handling, you know, not only the situation in overtime, but the goal line stand at the end of the game, which turned out to be really the difference in the game, in my opinion. But you go into the 38-yard field goal in those type of conditions where it's swirling winds, really, really soft, tough ground to keep your footing. You know, Jeremy, the ball's wet, and it was just a difficult kick to make. But what was interesting, I was like, you know what? I'm going to play this outside the upright. And right at the last minute, I was like, I better play it inside just in case it doesn't move. And then I hit it, and I started looking at Lena. It's one of those kicks you have to kind of talk in. But it's like, just keep your head down, keep your footing, and put it on the right upright, and it'll go in. So I kicked it, and all I heard was Adam Polish go, get in. I'm like, are you kidding me? I thought that was good as soon as it left my foot. And, you know, that's why they give you the whole upright. Put it in by an inch.
Does the ball listen?
Well, you know, at times.
That's pretty cool. And when you normally go and kick, when the wind isn't a factor, you're looking at a color in the stands, right?
Yeah,
someone wearing...
You usually pick out a target behind the upright, and usually it's the crazy fan with the big old bullet sign in the back.
The target sign? Yeah.
Yeah, the big target. I mean,
Robbie pays him to sit
there,
too.
Yeah, it's great. And actually,
the guy in the south end zone won't do it for him.
Yeah, I mean...
His price is too high.
I think he'd pull a hamstring run the whole way around the concourse as we're driving.
Yeah, right.
But you pick a target out, whether it's on, you know, some sort of level that separates the first level from the second level. Or in Green Bay, you can pick out hunting gear that's usually orange or
yellow. Like a sea of orange.
You can't miss.
Different,
you know,
shade
if
of
you
orange
pick.
You pick out.
But usually you pick out a target and you try to hit it to that target. And I think what was the most difficult, which was really, I thought, what our team did very well, is we handled the situations of the field. Because you get that much rain, it's going to be difficult. You know, the field crew did a great job of getting that field ready to play after the break with all that rain. And I know it's coming for me. I get it. All right. I know. I'm the biggest critic. But they really did a great job of getting the field prepared for us to play. And, you know, it got tore up as it went on. And I thought everyone, offense and defense and special teams, handled it very well.
We've got three crazy games. We played the 49ers game, which was when, Zach? What was that?
That was in 2005.
My rookie year.
You kicked a ball to Oak Brook.
Over the
pylon,
into the stands. The guy came back 3 years later and got it signed. That's a cool souvenir. That only happens in the Arena League.
That's awesome. Yeah. And it's a true story.
Yeah. And then we got the Green Bay game in 07, was that right?
Yeah, Brett Favre's coldest game ever.
And then this game, can you rank those three of your toughest games?
San Francisco is the easiest by far because it was kind of a constant wind, but it was like 65 degrees. Green Bay was pretty bad because you had 5-degree weather with a negative whatever wind chill.
Yeah, it was bad.
And then this one I think would be the most difficult because you had the footing. you know, in December in Chicago, the field's usually pretty hard.
Yeah, the footing to me when I walked out there, because obviously I didn't play, but walking out there after the game to shake hands, I mean, there were, I don't know, 5-6 inch divots in the ground, and they were everywhere, not just in a couple, just all the way between the hashes.
Right. That's why Ray Rice kept slipping and falling, because you don't know where to plant.
I'm okay
I know,
with that.
But the reason I bring that up is because all these people that keep talking about field turf and changing Soldier Field, but it works to your advantage when you're used to it, I think.
Well, I think it definitely gives you a competitive advantage dealing with those situations on a constant basis. Now, you know, I think if you're talking about the difference between the Baltimore Ravens and the Chicago Bears, yeah, Baltimore has turf, but at the same time, you know, we're used to playing on that field all the time. We have a very veteran-oriented team. I mean, you have 30 guys up at the end of the year. So, I mean, it tells you that you have an older squad of guys that have been here for a while that, you know, obviously know how to handle those conditions.
And I think we do have an advantage because teams will come in December when the field is what it is just because of the weather. And then the weather, they're already behind because they're like, the kickers will come over and be like, are you serious? It's really going to be like this? Are you serious? And we're like, yeah, this is what we're used to.
And
so it is a big advantage.
And what does it mean? Because for people who don't know, I keep saying that you're the second most accurate kicker in the history of a league. The guy who's number one is Vanderjack, the former kicker of the Colts. He kicked indoors for most of his career. For you to be able to do it outside, and Pat, you probably have greater perspective since you played with Halas. I think when you look over,
they were drafted in the same draft class.
Yeah, well, Jim Thorpe was a pretty good kicker, from what I understand. Blanda. Yeah, Blanda. No, but seriously, what does that say about this guy's ability to be able to do it in these conditions?
Zach, I'll give you a check at the end of the show for all this PR. I appreciate it.
Is Phil listening?
Yeah.
Phil Henry listening?
Can you tell Phil to turn on the radio show?
No, what he's done here in Chicago for the conditions we have to play in, there's no doubt he's the best kicker in the NFL, possibly ever.
And what about Phil?
Emery? Phil Emery? He's the best kicker I've ever not seen.
He's got some...
It's hard to kick in those cowboy boots.
He's got right. some tough decisions
to make.
He gets
us out of the Ukrainian village. We had an interesting conversation about
really?
That. Yeah.
Hold up. We will talk about
music.
This next. Usually we play the game. We'll do that in the next segment after we come back. Want to find out about Phil Emery's boots and Ukraine village. And also, what did you guys do inside the locker room for nearly 2 hours during the middle of an NFL game in which you weren't allowed to play? That's next with Robbie Gold and Patrick Manley. I'm Zach Sabin. This is Bears All Access. Live from the Chicago Bears Network Studios and Events Center at Halas Hall in front of a studio audience from MasterCard on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Score great tire deals and get $70 to use toward Bears gear when you buy a set of eligible Bridgestone tires. Visit BridgestoneBearsPromo.com. Zach Sabin, Patrick Manley, Robbie Gold with you. This is Bears All Access brought to you by Sports Authority live from the Chicago Bears Network Studios and Events Center at Halas Hall in front of a studio audience from MasterCard. And we can take your tweets here on the radio program. All you have to do is send your tweets to @BearsAllAccess, and a little bit later on, we'll try to answer some questions. And Robbie gets a lot of interesting questions on Twitter. Every time I mention your name via Twitter, there's some interesting responses.
By the way, it's RobbieGold09. If you're going to do a shameless plug about it, it's my handle name.
Yeah,
we
tweeted that out.
I'd like to get more followers.
So selfish.
It's not selfish. It's marketing. It's promo.
There you go. All right. So what is this this story? Now, for people that don't know, and many probably can't see even when you're at the game, but when Phil Emery is on the sidelines during warmups, he wears interesting footwear, right? Is that the best way to describe it?
He has a nice suit on that accompanies it.
Always. Yeah. I mean, always.
He looks very, very
And usually,
nice.
Almost always, he's got some sort of navy blue and orange type of tie.
Yes. Very professional. Bears professional.
Yeah, very professional.
Pants are usually hiked up pretty high.
He's got a high waist. That's all right. We're probably going to get in trouble for this, but that's all right.
I'm okay with it.
We'll get called to his office tomorrow.
He's tall.
Yeah, high waist.
He has a high waist.
So, and the shoes, it's...
They're not shoes.
They're boots.
They're boots. Cowboy boots.
Cowboy boots.
And he has different boots, but sometimes if you look closely, they look like shoes. And then when he lifts up the pant leg, just a little bit, you know, occasionally... When he's walking.
So you're saying he shows off the boots on the sideline.
When he sits down, the pants go up a little
rise,
bit.
Yeah.
So, and then there's some interesting cowboy designs.
You follow
designs.
Him pretty heavily and pretty intently on the sidelines, Zach. I mean.
He's a great guy to talk to.
What's the conversation for you guys like before a game?
The weather, usually.
Yeah.
Because it's Soldier Field, the wind, the wind conditions, the kicker, and the things he said during
the
week.
That's a quick conversation,
yeah.
Probably.
No, analytics.
Yes.
That's a big deal. By the way, how much has that changed what you guys do now?
It really hasn't involved us. As far as specialists, it hadn't involved us much. But I think coaches and their decisions and game situations, they discussed that a little bit more.
Right, because at last play in regulation, you know, when you were able to hold the Ravens to a field goal, a lot of people were saying, why don't you take a timeout? And Mark Trestman was asked about this, and he started smiling because he knew the question was coming and went for about 3 minutes explaining it, including there's a 13% chance that if you get the ball on the 16-yard line and you're the other team, that you're going to score a touchdown. He then talked about how by not calling timeouts, and he's thinking like an offensive coordinator now, the other team has difficulty making substitutions, so you limit their playbook. But conventional wisdom used to be you take timeouts in those situations to give you a little bit more time in the event that they do score.
I think it takes the – I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see. I've thought about this that – does it take the gut out of the coaching? You know, the gut calls, all that kind of stuff. Maybe I don't know. We'll see because I think it's kind of new, and we'll see how it affects the game. But so far, it's worked for us because in the situations, we've succeeded.
Yeah, it's football's version of baseball sabermetrics. It worked on the 4th-and-1 in Green Bay. Mm-hmm. You know, that was a gutsy call. So you got to give them credit where it's due. But I think it's too early to tell if it's going to work out.
Yeah, that's what I think. Yeah.
You'll know over the years. Now, getting back to you, Robbie, what do you talk to Phil Emery about? How'd you find out about the boots?
Well, I mean, you know, I'm as uptight can get on game day. I'm walking by Phil, and like you said, he's dressed in his Sunday best. And I was like, nice dress shoes. He goes, they're not dress shoes, they're boots. I get them from the Ukrainian village.
Really?
Yeah, I'm trying to get a pair, so I'm going to, at some point in time, have a conversation where I can get a pair of those and wear them in his honor. I might even get Phil Emery's name maybe embroidered in mine, though.
We should all get a couple pair and wear them on game, like travel day.
Yeah, it's like a commemorative pair. You know?
Garza does. Garza has a pair of cowboy boots.
Yeah, he does.
And the Texas boy is.
Yeah, but he's from Texas.
But they're nice boots, though. They're pretty sweet looking.
What's impressive about Garza's travel outfit is he wears the cowboy boots with a nice suit and a sweet baseball hat.
He's still a lineman.
I mean, that dude
styling. Exactly. He's a lineman.
He's styling.
Exactly what it is.
Very impressive. What you guys do in the locker room for 2 hours?
Well, Pat did a lot.
I felt bad because like my stress level is nothing what theirs is. So they still got to think about the game and going back out and play. And I just picked up my phone and started playing games on my phone.
He was having a picnic. Don't let him talk. He was eating Whole Foods.
Talking to this group of people, talking to that group of people. And I felt bad. And then so finally I just kind of went by myself. And once it got closer to game time, I let them get ready.
I was asking different people throughout the day what was happening inside the locker room. And these are the answers I got. Josh McCown said that at one point he took a nap. Started visually.
Actually, you can find that picture. I'm glad you brought this up because I'm on ChicagoBears.com. And I'm looking at the photos that they had from the delay, and I thought he was just visualizing what we were going to do on offense. He was actually taking a nap?
Yeah, he took a nap. And I'm
telling
you,
that's awesome.
I tweeted it out. I told parents that if you have a kid who's giving you trouble, doesn't like to nap, just show them the picture of the Bears quarterback who napped and then won a game.
There might be a new Duffnering type of
napping.
Napping. It's going to be the McCounting.
McNapping?
McNapping.
There you go. That sounds good. That's why he's the longest tenured Bear in the history of the organization. Also, at one point, there's another picture on the ChicagoBears.com website of Mark Trestman tossing the football around with Brandon Marshall.
Yeah, so that's right by our locker. And it's funny because Brandon's always running around in the locker room asking somebody. He usually gets one of the ball boys and just throws him the ball and just keeps warm and keeps loose. And, Trestman kind of came by and intercepted the ball, and I thought he was just going to be like, oh, okay, yeah, whatever. And he started throwing the ball. I'm like, I got to go watch some football. I can't. I mean, I don't want him to start throwing it to me and get involved in this or, you know. So, I went in and watched football in the equipment room.
And I heard turkey sandwiches were brought in, pasta salad.
There were. Yeah, it just became like everybody started to get a little antsy for the game. And then, yeah, I don't know. And then like the O-line would circle up with chairs and they're hanging out. Just it was interesting for 2 hours to be waiting to play. We're already starting a game.
You two are two of the longest tenured Bears on the roster currently. Which one of you knows more Bear trivia? We're going to find out next. Robbie Gold, Patrick Manley, are you a Bears authority? That's next right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Enjoy a free Reds Tavern Double with purchase when the Bears get a takeaway this season. Brought to you by Red Robin, home of Tavern Double Tuesday. Alongside Patrick Manley, I'm Zach Zaidman. We are broadcasting live from the Chicago Bears Network Studios and Event Center at Hallis Hall in front of our studio audience from MasterCard. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority, our special guest for the entire hour. And you know, any hour featuring Robbie Gould is not going to be an ordinary hour, and so far that's been the case. He has given us the latest on Phil Emery fashion. The great thing that he did on Tuesday with some of his teammates helping the people down in Coal City. And I think you guys are planning on doing more than just that stop. Next month, you're also going
to
help out?
Yeah, actually, with my charity, we're planning to go down to Washington, Illinois this time. What's interesting is we first tried to go down to Washington, but you couldn't get in. And I was on the Washington, Illinois site today looking, and families still can't get to their home. So by December 4th, we should be able to go down there. And we got a bunch of guys, actually. I think Pat's going to come.
I won't be rehabbing, hopefully, knock on wood.
Adam Podlish. We got a bunch of guys that want to go down. We're going to try to get a bus together. What's cool is the Bears are, you know, doing what they're doing up until Sunday. But through my charity, we're actually going to be doing a couple of different things. The first thing we're going to do is I'm going to be auctioning off my game-worn shoes from the Baltimore Ravens game. And we're going to autograph those. I'm going to do a one-hour private kicking lesson with whoever bids the highest and obviously wins it.
A kicking lesson from Robbie Gould.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
Now, are you going to be like
in the snow, in the wind? You know, we're going to make it element-oriented.
Yeah. Are you going to be like a Tom Thibodeau type where you're just going to constantly scream and yell? Or are you going to be, you know, kind of...
Oh, I'm calm, cool, collected. Yeah, you know, okay. I don't believe in yelling and screaming.
Right.
D does that. I didn't leave that to him.
Okay, wow. So we learned a little bit about Jody Camillus. That's interesting. You're going to love that when you walk into the meeting room tomorrow.
Does he listen to the show?
He's game planning right now.
The coaches are listening right now while they're game planning. Exactly,
everyone
sure.
listens to Bears All Access at some point, because you can hear our shows also on ChicagoBears.com. Speaking of which, if you do want to help out, you can go to ChicagoBears.com/tornado relief as well as Robbie's website.
And it's goldentouch.org. If you want to donate, we're actually going to accept donations, and 100% of the proceeds starting Monday, because the Bears are going to run theirs until Sunday, until the very end of the year, December 31st, which is against the Green Bay Packers. All the money that we raise is actually going to go towards the victims and try to help as much as we can in a relief effort. We had a company, Four Seasons Heating and Air Conditioning. They've they've stepped up huge, and they're going to donate $10,000 for us to take down there and kind of help. But if you want those game-worn autographed, I even have a pitcher. I already autographed them with 38-yard game-winning field goal. And the private kicking lesson for an hour, and we'll probably do a pitcher from the game. It's at charitybuzz.com.
That's pretty cool. Now, what I want to know, and this is a serious question before we start, are you a Bears authority? When you go down to an area that's been devastated, like Coal City, and you're there to cheer people up, and you hear those stories and you see the devastation, is it tough for you to stay positive when you look around?
You know, it's not tough to stay positive. I think the best way to describe it is when you get down there and you get off the highway and you see foundations on one side, and then you see another building just across the street that's perfectly fine. You go down probably another block and you see an RV parking lot that's just flipped, and RVs are on top of one another, and you know, you can't really move them at this point. But and then you just get into the heart of the city and see how many people at this. We're at the United Methodist Church, and we come in as in a bus for 31 passengers, and behind us we have a huge truck full of water and snacks from Peapod that we have to unload. We have two pallets of water that Joe Caputo and Sons gave for the efforts. And then you turn around and you have 10 boxes from Fantastic Lettering with sweatshirts, hoodies, sweatpants, t-shirts. I mean, you know, you don't even think about realistically how everything's going. All you want to do is try to help out as many people as you possibly can in that 5-6 hour time span that we're down there. You know, when we were in the streets of this Diamond Estates subdivision, we went up and down the two streets, and we were giving out stuff from the Red Cross. That's who we partnered with to help out. And, you know, you're giving out Jimmy John's, you're giving out water, you're walking through people's homes, and just they're recounting and retelling where they were at. Some people were at the Bears game and left the Bears game to come home to find their homes, you know, half torn apart. You know, it's funny because people go down there, and it's not really funny, I guess, but it's ironic that you're going to go down there and look at some of these homes in Coal City and in Diamond, Illinois, and they're still standing, but they have to be completely demolished and completely wrecked. We met a family. They were telling the story that they hid in a closet with their daughter, a two-year-old daughter, two dogs, husband and wife, and the husband was holding on to the door, and it completely went right over top of their closet, down the other side of their house. And it was a garage I was telling you about a little bit ago on the show, and it went and the whole way through the community. And the girl, she cried, she laughed, she cried, she laughed. And she's like, I don't know. I never thought I'd have bears standing in my, driveway, garage. But anyways, let's go in the house. Let me show you where this picture is going to go. So, like, you know, you talk about missing a field goal. You talk about a calf injury where Pat has to do calf raises to get back on the field. Yeah. And, you know, there's a lot more than your job. There's a lot more that you put in perspective when you first of all, you just want to help as many people, give a hug, sign an autograph, take a picture. But it puts a lot of what we do in perspective. You know, I could really care less, and Pat knows this, and he's been around me a long time. I could care less if anybody remembers me for football. It's great. Second most accurate kicker, that's awesome. You know what I mean? I'm going to strive to be the best at whatever it is that I'm going to do on Sundays, but it takes part, obviously, with the preparation during the week. But if people remember you for going to Coal City or helping out the United Way or doing some stuff in a community that's been so good to me, it's pretty special to be able to go down and help Bear fans and people who root for you, who are watching the game in their what was living room and cheering for you before the game. Realistically, as we talked about this in the locker room, it was noon. Mm-hmm. That it was kickoff time that these individuals were going through the situation they're going through.
Let's take a timeout. We were going to play the game. We'll take a timeout, give you a chance to kind of regroup yourself, and then we're going to have some fun coming up next. Are You a Bears Authority with Robbie Gold and Patrick Manley right here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority in front of our studio audience from MasterCard here at the Chicago Bears Network Studios and Events Center at Hallis Hall on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Along with Robbie Gold and Patrick Manley, I'm Zach Sabin. The Bears thank Giordano's Famous Stuffed Pizza for providing dinner tonight. Stop by one of their 40 Chicagoland locations for the city's favorite stuffed pizza and visit Giordano's.com. Thanks to Greg Miller for always making things happen when it comes to the great pizza from Giordano's.
Zach, how good was that pizza tonight? That cheese was unbelievable, wasn't it?
It was fantastic.
It was nice of Greg Miller to get that cheese pizza for you.
That's why we call him G-Money.
He does everything. He's a producer. He's a waitress. I mean, waiter.
He does it all. He's much more than that. And we've got Paul Zerang, who's helping us blast through the speakers of your radio. But and he's also the guy responsible for all the sound effects that you're about to hear. It's pretty cool stuff because it is time to play Are You a Bears Authority here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. It's our highest rated segment every single time.
Not when Robbie's on, because every other segment is the highest rated segment.
Yeah. How is he so popular? It's
the mayor, Robbie Gold.
I mean, was Kevin Butler this popular?
He was. He had a unibar.
Yeah, he did have a unibar. Would you petition the league to wear a unibar?
Maybe they'll let me wear one. Have I played long enough that I
actually
could wear one?
You're grandfathered in.
Right. I should be.
You are. Scott Player was one of the last ones. Yeah.
I believe this is not a joke. The last player to play without a helmet in the National Football League was a Bear. I think his name was Dick Plasman. And in the 1940s, he played without a helmet. What was he like as a teammate?
He was good. He was a...
Pat's seen all the equipment changes. No helmet, right, leather helmet. Right. I mean, he's gone through it all.
Horses to work.
Traveled by bike.
We took horses.
Yeah, to Decatur. What was the starch company like?
Let's get to the game.
All right, here we go. Just also want to say that it's that time of year again. Get your Chicago Tribune Thanksgiving Day edition stuffed with thousands of dollars in holiday savings available from retailers all across Chicagoland or wherever newspapers are sold. All right, so it's time to play Are You a Bears Authority? It's real simple. I ask a question. If you know the answer, hit the buzzer really hard just like that. You'll hear that sound. You get a chance to answer the question if your buzzer goes off first. If you get it wrong, the other player gets an opportunity to answer the question. It's best of seven, and whoever triumphs wins a Sports Authority gift certificate for a lucky Bears fan. Patrick, you are playing for Paul Kutowaki from Chicago, and Robbie, you're going to be playing for Jenny Wakefield from Vernon Hills.
Let's do this, Jenny. I got you covered, girl.
If you're listening right now and you want to sign up for a future game, go to chicagobears.com/CBN and click on the Bears All Access page where you can also listen to all of our shows, Joe DeCamillis. Question number
one. Can you say Paul's last name again for me?
Paul Kutowaki.
Okay. Just making sure you got it right.
Yeah, making sure. And Paul, if I mispronounced it, I apologize. Blame Pat. Hopefully he wins something for you here. Question number one. Which player? Oh, by the way, I just want to point this out. Pat, what's the rule here?
Robbie, there has to be a Josh McCown question in this. There's been one for how many weeks we've been doing it, and we even had one when he was on the show. So be ready for that being an answer.
Did he get his own question right?
He did. It took him a split second. It was a good question. I think he got all of his records, and he was also a wide receiver, by the way, in Detroit briefly. It's a story for another time. All right, question number two. Let's go to special teams.
How about
number
we do one?
Let's
no.
Question number one.
One.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I didn't even ask the first question. How about that? It's been a long day.
Okay, we'll push the first question.
Yeah. All right, Ty. All right, here we go. Question one. Let's begin the festivities. Which player on the Bears' current roster lists Jacksonville, Texas as his hometown?
Robbie is hitting
his buzzer. Robbie, do it with your foot. It'll go off.
You got to slap it.
All right, Robbie, go ahead. There you go.
Hey, now we're talking. Jacksonville, Texas.
Yes.
Huh? If I had to go through the list of people,
you have 3
Derek Martin.
Incorrect. Pat?
Jonathan Scott?
Incorrect. We'll save that one.
Yeah.
Oh, no, we won't. You know what the answer is? You'll love this.
Oh, Josh McCown.
Josh McCown, come on. I tried to help you guys out.
Wait, was it his hometown or his current residence?
It's his hometown. His current residence. I believe he was coaching at Charlotte Catholic before he came here. So he lives in Charlotte, North Carolina. And someone today said, maybe it was Aaron Cromer or Martellus Bennett, I'm not sure, but they were talking about how his southern drawl, it means that it takes players an extra second in the huddle to figure out what he's saying. Come on.
It's not that bad.
I mean, they make it sound like, I would think if you have like a New England accent, that would be a little
whatever
bit
it is, it's working right now. So let's just go with it. I don't care how much twang he's gotten up there. Just keep it going.
Good call. I believe Martellus, Marty, your good friend, the orange dinosaur, he said something along the lines of McCown sounding like a cross between Ben Stiller and Jesus in the huddle.
I would love to hear those two talk.
And that's what McCown said, because he's got the perfect answer for any question. He's even better than you when it comes to that, Robbie, which is impressive.
Probably a little more politically correct at times,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that I will not argue that. All right. Right now it's scoreless. Question number two. Bears special teams coach Joe DeCamillis has been a special teams coach on 6 NFL teams. Which team was his first? He coached from 19... Patrick.
I'm going to go with the New York Giants.
Incorrect. He coached there, Robbie, from 1988 to 1992. And Robbie's smiling because he's a media guide maven, so he knows the answer to this question.
Sad thing is I was going to say the Giants too, but let's go with the Denver Broncos.
Correct. Because he joined Dan Reeves, who I believe is his father-in-law, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, joined him, and then he followed Dan Reeves to the New York Giants. All right, so it's a 1-0 lead
for
Robbie Gold.
Appreciate that. Yeah. I'll let Coach know that tomorrow.
Yeah. Robbie Gold, a 1-0 lead over Patrick Manley, which means Jenny leads Paul right now for that opportunity to get a Sports Authority gift certificate. Question three.
I just want to make sure this thing works, Zach. It didn't work the last time I hit it.
Go, you got to answer it.
You got to answer it.
Zach Zaman.
Ready now?
All right, I'm good.
Boy,
it works.
You're excitable. Question three. Who is the only player on the Bears' current 53-man roster who played his college ball at Nevada? Robbie.
Isaiah Frey.
Correct. Which one is it?
Isaiah Frey.
Yes.
I always call him Frey. I mean, I used to do that when he was a rookie. I got to get out of it. He's a second-year player, you know?
Yeah, and for those keeping score at home, Isaiah Frey is on schedule to play Sunday with a cast. Jay Cutler, no cast, not scheduled to play on Sunday. Football's a weird game that way.
Just depends on the injury, realistically. I mean, you know.
I know. And he's got a broken hand. You can still play
defensive
back. I never
would stereotype you as a typical media guy, but I mean, you just sounded like it.
I was factually
Zach,
accurate. That hurts. And it's true. Bears center Roberto Garza was born March 26th of what year? Pat.
1979.
Correct. How about that? Very impressive.
He's only 3 years apart from Pat. I mean,
it's 4 years.
Four?
4 years, yeah.
Yeah.
And he spent 8 years in, well, no, probably, what, 14 in the O-line room?
I did. 13 years. Yeah.
13?
If we're talking. Yeah.
The most,
I got kicked out.
If what's the score, by the way?
Right now, Robbie Gould leads Patrick Manley 2-1.
So he needs us to tie.
In yes. RU Bears authority. It should be pointed out, speaking of medical mavens, I believe that Roberto Garza, no ACLs.
Doesn't have one. Right? He had it repaired, and then it just kind of disintegrated in his knee, and there's small percentage of people who don't need him, and he is one of those.
He is definitely one of those people. All right, question number five. In what round of the 2006 draft was Bears receiver Brandon Marshall selected?
Second.
Incorrect, Robbie. Patrick, you get it.
Four.
Correct.
Yes.
Game tied at two, and that was an unbelievable draft for the Denver Broncos that year. I believe that the first four players, I don't know the exact order, something along the lines of Jay Cutler, right? Brandon Marshall, Elvis Dumervil.
Oh, wow.
There was another, Tony Scheffler, maybe? He was picked that year.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty impressive. Question number six. Game tied at two. It's a multiple choice question, so it would benefit you to wait for me to give the choices. Here
Unless
we go.
Unless we know the answer.
Right. How many career interceptions does Lance Briggs have in the NFL? 14, 15, 16, or 17?
14.
Robbie. Incorrect. Again, the question, how many interceptions does Lance Briggs have in the NFL? The choices, 15, 16.
I'll go 15.
Or, correct.
Yes. Good guess. Thanks, Robbie.
Patrick with
You know what? That's embarrassing. It's the first time I've ever lost in this game in the
you
history of
the
game.
Yet. You haven't lost yet. But if you're going to.
Well, true. I thought you said it was one question away.
Hey, remember, it's 58 plus two. Isn't that what Tressman likes to say?
I hate losing.
Well, you have an opportunity here
to tie
the game
up.
Patrick Manley leads Robbie Gould 3-2. Question number seven.
Have these questions been repeated, by the way? I feel like I'm getting punked here.
Yeah, Isaiah Fry one was. I can't believe I missed it.
Okay. I'm going to give you this one. It is a special teams question. While at the University of Maryland, Bears punter Adam Podlish was a semifinalist for the Dratty Award, honoring the top student athlete in the nation. What was his major?
I got you guys.
No, I know this.
Wow. Remember.
We just talked about this 2 weeks ago.
Right, because your locker, Robbie, is right next to Adam Podlish's locker.
He graduated?
He did. he did kidding. Graduate, yes.
He's a very smart man.
He is very smart.
Oh, go ahead.
I guess it does.
Robbie?
Business management with a finance minor.
Incorrect. But it sounded good. I was like, wow, maybe I got it wrong.
Political science.
Incorrect.
I don't know.
Patrick Manley has won the game. Do you want to know the answer?
Yeah, please.
He was a marketing major.
Oh.
He's a marketing major?
Yeah.
Wait, read again what he was up for so we can we have a special
He's a semifinalist for the Dratty Award. Honoring
Dratty
the
Award.
Yeah,
right,
the Dratty Award.
Okay.
D-R-A-D-D-Y. Congratulations. Patrick has won
Congratulations.
To Paul Katawacki from Chicago has won a gift certificate to Sports Authority because Patrick Manley rallied from a 2-0 deficit to defeat Robbie Gould. Got to take a timeout. We'll talk about your upcoming game against the St. Louis Rams next on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. Live from the Chicago Bears Network Studios and Event Center, and have us all in front of a studio audience here from MasterCard on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Bears Coaches Show, brought to you by McDonald's, featuring Jeff Joniak. The Bears coaching staff airs Monday nights at 6:30 p.m. on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM WBBM, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows. So is this one. Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. Our final few moments live from the Chicago Bears Network Studios and Event Center at Halas Hall in front of our studio audience. Our good friends from MasterCard, Zach Zaidman, Patrick Manley, Robbie Gould with you. Bears, Rams, and from a special team standpoint, they appear to be a very fast team.
Very, very fast. Tavon Austin, their rookie, is extremely fast. And they're really well coached with Fossil. Coach Fossil, I forget. It's Jim Fossil's son, I believe, right?
Correct.
But they play hard. They play very, very fast. They had an awesome game against the Colts 2 weeks ago when they played. So they've put a lot of great game tape out. So we've got a great challenge for us.
But you're back. So that kind of changes the dynamic.
Snapper, sure.
Exactly. No wind. The field conditions are going to be fantastic. You know, a lot of Bear fans are going to make the drive down. So it should be a fun atmosphere for football. What do you think it's like? Because you guys have brothers. You know, your brother, Robbie, is an assistant at Syracuse. You know, Pat, you know what it's like to have famous people in your family. But to have what Howie Long and his wife are going through this weekend to watch Chris taking on Kyle.
Well,
and potentially lining up against
one is they've got to hit each other. It's not like two quarterbacks, you know, on opposite sides of the or opposite ends of the ball playing against each other. It's two guys having to physically go after each other.
Yeah, so it's not like Peyton facing Eli.
No.
It's not the Manning Bowl. This is some serious stuff. And you know they're watching video of one another trying to figure out the other person's weaknesses.
Yeah,
that's hard.
Yeah, it is. But then you got Jordan Mills, who's got to block him, and you know, I'm sure he's going to come back to the huddle and talk to Chris about him, and yeah. I mean, talk to Kyle about him. Excuse me. Forgot which one I was talking about.
Man, welcome back. Welcome back. Come back to us. Robbie, thank you so much. It was a great hour. Thank you to our friends from MasterCard. We got to say so long. For Patrick Manley, I'm Zach Zabin. This has been Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to this Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access, your all-access pass into the world of Bears football. You can listen to Bears All Access shows online at chicagobears.com. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Miller Lite, Verizon, and United.